So we're reading from chapter 10. We have quite a few verses to cover today. We're starting with text 14 and reading up through text 30. So chapter 10, starting on 14. But before we start, we need to just make sure we're all focused in on where we're at. That's my favorite thing. Are you focused in on where we're at? So who can give me a little bit of a summary of this chapter or where we're at in the Bhagavatam? The title of this chapter is Departure of Lord Krishna for Dwarka. So maybe that'll give you a hint. Where is Krishna? Nope, he's departing for Dwarka. He's going to Dwarka. Right now he's in Hastinapur. Kurukshetra is finished. And then he went to Hastinapur to why? Do you remember why he went there? Yudhishthira requested him, yes, that's true. But there was another specific reason mentioned why he went there. Subhadra. Why Subhadra? Please Subhadra. Why did she need to be pleased? Why wasn't she happy already? She is the Lord's sister. Andrea, are you a volunteering? No. Okay. Her son died in the battle. Her only son through Arjuna. And what was his name? Abhimanyu died. Yeah, and it was quite tragic, dramatic. So he went there to please Yudhishthira and to pacify the relatives, including Subhadra. So now what's he doing? He's going to Dwarka. And so what's happening now is people are saying goodbye, and they're getting ready to say goodbye. Okay, so that's okay. Just bringing you. So especially the ladies now are going to say goodbye. So we'll. It's a lot of verses to cover, and I really like trying to cover all of them. I don't like trying to skip them. So let's just read together the Sanskrit to text 14. We'll just read it together, and then we'll go through the translations. Okay? Can we do that? Nyarudhanam udgalad basvam okantya devaki sute niryate agarano brahm iti syad bandhavastriya. And sorry, can you start reading?
A female relatives whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna came out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that tears would cause misfortune at the time of departure.
So, with the purport?
Yes.
Okay. There were hundreds of ladies in the palace of Hastinapur. All of them were affectionate to Krishna. All of them were relatives also. When they saw that Krishna was going far away, was going away from the palace for his native place, they were very anxious for him, and as usual, tears began to roll down their cheeks. They thought at the same time that tears at that moment might be a cause of misfortune for Krishna, therefore they wanted to check them. This was very difficult because the tears could not be checked. Therefore, they smeared their tears in their eyes and their hearts throbbed. Therefore, ladies who were their wives and daughters-in-law of those who died on the battlefield never came in direct contact with Krishna, but all of them heard of him and his great activities. And thus they thought of him, talked of him, his name, fame, etc., and became affectionate also, like those who were in direct contact. Therefore, directly or indirectly, anyone who thinks of Krishna, talks of Krishna, or worships Krishna becomes attached to him. Because Krishna is absolute, there is no difference between his name, form, quality, etc. Our intimate relation with Krishna can be confidentially revived by our talking of, hearing of, or remembering him. It is so done due to spiritual potency.
Did anything strike you about that purport? Nope, you can't ask a question just yet. Hold on, but don't forget it. But what did anything strike you about that purport? Oh, you have a microphone there. Does it work? Sorry. Okay. Purport. What was anything in the purport that touched your heart? Towards the end, maybe? About the wives and the other sisters-in-laws and everything who weren't in direct contact?
I just thought I would say that, like, they didn't even know Krishna. They never got to meet him, but still they were just crying, just hearing about him.
They didn't necessarily have, even Krishna was present on the planet, they didn't necessarily have direct contact with Krishna at that time, but by being able to hear about him and think about him and remember him and worship him, they developed affection. So isn't that a little encouraging for us, no? I mean, sometimes we think, oh, you know, we're the late bloomers here in Kali Yuga, what's our hope, this and that. But even then, at that time, they didn't have direct contact with him. But still, they've made it into Srimad Bhagavatam to be forever glorified as personalities who developed pure, unalloyed love for Krishna. Okay. Okay, Lakshmi, your question.
Okay, my question is, it says, therefore, ladies who were wives and daughters-in-law of those who died never came in contact with Krishna. Therefore, they never came in contact with Krishna. Why therefore?
It's going to be explained in the next couple of verses. Therefore, because they had, because they were ladies. You know, it was their husbands and their sons who had direct contact with Krishna. They were the ladies, the chaste, shy ladies, which are going to be mentioned in the next paragraph or two, or purport or two, verse or two. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to neglect you. Can you read the next verse?
While the Lord was departing from the palace of Hastinapur, different types of drums, like the mridanga, dhola, nagra, dunduri, and dundubi, and flutes of different types, the veena, gomukha, and peri, all sounded together to show him honor.
So that means that there's more drums than just mridangas. We have to tell Ananta that, okay?
Okay, can you read the next one too?
Out of text 16, out of a loving desire to see the Lord, the royal ladies of the Kurus got up on top of the palace, and smiling with affection and shyness, they showered flowers upon the Lord.
The microphone's too shy. Here, try this one. That was right. I should have just... Oh, you have two microphones. Wow, this is like real advancement. Of course, now we've got the broken one, don't we, ladies? Okay, sorry. Sorry. Go on. Very interesting points Srila Prabhupada's making in this purport. Not so much politically correct statements. They don't necessarily sit well with our Western upbringing, perhaps. Perhaps. I'm just, you know, making an educated guess. But not that these principles are outdated either. We shouldn't think that these principles and this understanding of activity and proper activity is outdated, a thing of the past. But we definitely need to use our intelligence, even though we have less of it. But how to engage it properly in this day and age? You know, how to act properly in this day and age. Anything strike you in the purport? Krishna Kripa Prabhu?
That's an incredible statement. It says Vedic wisdom. Well, sorry.
Here you go. Oh, that side. Okay, sorry.
The Vedic wisdom bids us to be attracted by false beauty.
False beauty, yeah.
It's pretty powerful.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And also the one I liked was about the spirit spark. Because there is association of the living spark with matter, it appears to be beautiful. It's the soul that makes the body beautiful, whichever body it may be in. Of course, here in this purport, in this context, we're referring to the shyness of ladies. But it applies, the principle of the spirit soul inside the body applies to whichever body you might be in, even a dog's body. The only reason a dog's body happens to appear friendly or this or that is because the soul's presence within the body. And therefore, as the Vedic wisdom is bringing us to the essential wisdom. It's the essential point in our outlook. It should be, we should have to develop it in alliance, in accord with these Vedic instructions. And then we learn to see things properly in their proper perspective. Anyone else? Any comments? Anything that struck them in the purport? Andrea G? Oh, yeah.
Soul or the body?
It does work. Oh, okay. At least they can hear it in the kitchen. I think that's the point, right?
And it's good to read it again to not only understand how other people see us, materially, but also so we understand ourselves that we are not this body, and that if other people see us in that way, that we just need to remember that we shouldn't be attached to that thought of other people thinking oh, that person's beautiful. You're in fact the spirit soul.
And another thing too is, no matter how many times you hear these basic points, you're not your body. It's the soul that's the batteries, that the life force of the body. It doesn't get old or hackneyed to hear it again. And we need to hear it again and again and again every day. Let's continue. Oh, yep.
Srila Prabhupada said our sannyasis should have stamps on their forehead, keep in a cool place.
Keep in a cool place.
So butter
keep the fire away so the butter stays.
He said butter is stamped, keep in a cool place.
Yeah. Thank you. Okay, continue. 17.
At that time, Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremonies. They are all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord. When one man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessities. By so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha instead of metals like gold.
I looked that up on the internet yesterday to find out what gutta percha was, and it's a tree. It's a resin from a tree. So they're making pots out of resin, sap of trees, as opposed to metals like gold and silver.
All right. Thank you. what is that word from? Sorry. Gold, silver, brass, and copper. They are using margarine instead of purified butter. And 1/4 of the city population has no shelter.
Interesting, isn't it? They're not out. These purports are not outdated. They're ever fresh and new. So Prabhupada was staying here, and in the previous purport, he was saying something. He was saying that different gifts of nature. So what did he say? What in the last two purports are some gifts of nature that Prabhupada's mentioned? Yeah. Want to speak in the mic just so those hardworking people get to hear too?
The first gift he mentioned in the last purport was the woman's natural shyness.
Yeah, that's a gift of nature. And now he's saying
that precious stones are gifts.
Yeah, interesting, no? So that quality of shyness is just as valuable as gold and pearls and jewels and other valuable stones. Another thing that struck me about this is, when do we see golds and pearls and silver? It's very rare, you know. Maybe somebody has a tweensy little, thin little piece of gold here and there that they've, some people accumulate gold quite easily. But some of us, you know, it's a huge endeavor and this and that and this, and you get a little thin band of something. but what's Prabhupada saying here about this gold, these gifts of nature? You want to continue that thought?
He says that now they've been wasted. Or that, no, not wasted.
Something's been wasted, but not probably even the gold's been wasted, but the...
Humans are...
Yeah, we're wasting our time. Sorry.
Don't say something else, I'll be quiet.
No, I think that's it.
Sorry. So we're wasting our time in producing so many necessities of so-called necessities of life, like what would be a so-called necessity of life? An iPod, a computer, a this or that, a plastic this.
I'm looking at Shirin Bhagavatam on this iPod.
Now that's, I didn't even see that in your hand, so that's the proper use of it. Okay, very good, very good.
And that's
but
all he ever looks at.
That's, I'm sure. That's all
more
he
or less,
see on that.
More or less.
Yeah, no, totally. Totally. That's the proper use of anything, whether it's gold or silver or plastic or whatever, like our good old Sam's Special plastic tables, you know? Well, at least they're being utilized properly, right? But these are our opulences in Kali Yuga. We can't even get a total metal table anymore. We have to get only metal on the bottom and plastic on the top. We used to think it was opulent if we had a wood table. Now we're just thinking as long as the table stands up, we're just doing fine, you know? Anyway, Hare Krishna. But why has it come to this point? Why has it come to this point? Because we've taken our energy and totally turned it around and looking in a whole nother direction and thinking that we're making, that civilization is making progress by technology. And technology not used in Krishna's service, meaning, bottom line. You know, just advancement for pleasure of my senses. And therefore, because my senses are never satisfied, kamadinam katina katida palita durni desha, they're never satisfied. Every minute we're trying to please our senses, and every minute the senses are clamoring for some new enjoyment. Thank you. Thank you. Something new. We've done that. We need to do something else. And therefore, because the senses are never satisfied, and the all energy and life is spent on satisfying the senses, then all the energy, all the advancement, everything is for naught. And now we have to be satisfied, not even with resin pots. We have to be satisfied with plastic pots, you know, petroleum byproducts. Okay, you get to continue. We're on text 18 now. He's pulling it up on his little teeny-weeny screen.
Uddhava and Satyaki began to fan the Lord with decorated fans. And the Lord, as the master of Madhu, seated on scattered flowers, commanded them along the road.
Nice. Baladev? Well, whatever. Okay.
It was being heard here and there that the benedictions being paid to Krishna were neither befitting nor unbefitting because they were all for the Absolute who was now playing the part of a human being.
A little ambiguous, isn't it there? The benedictions are not befitting, or then they're not unbefitting. I wonder what Prabhupada's going to say in the purport. Can you read the purport, Gopal, and enlighten us to what he's talking about?
At places there were sounds of Vedic benediction aiming at the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. The benedictions were fitting in the sense that the Lord was playing the part of a human being as if a cousin of Maharaj Yudhisthira. But they were also unfitting because the Lord is absolute and has nothing to do with any kind of material relatives. He is nirguna, or there are no material qualities in him, but he is full of transcendental qualities. In the transcendental world, there is nothing contradictory, whereas in the relative world, everything has opposite. In the relative world, why the opposite conception of black...
Can you read that again?
In the relative world, white is the opposite conception of black. But in the transcendental world, there is no distinction between white and black. Therefore, the sounds of benedictions uttered by the learned brahmanas here and there appear to be contradictory in relation with the absolute person. But when they are applied to the absolute person, they lose all contradiction and become transcendental. One example may clear this idea. Lord Sri Krishna is sometimes described as a thief. He is very famous amongst his pure devotees as Makhan Chor. He used to steal butter from the houses of neighbors at Vrindavan in his early age. Since then, he is famous as a thief. But in spite of his being famous as a thief, he is worshipped as a thief, whereas in the mundane world, a thief is punished and never praised. Since he is the absolute personality of Godhead, everything is applicable to him. And still, in spite of all contradictions, he is the supreme personality of Godhead.
Thank you. So now, you have to give me your summary, what you understood from that purport. So we'll go again, like the verse, text 19. The verse said that the praises that were being offered to the Lord were neither befitting nor unbefitting, because they were all for the absolute truth who was now playing the part of a human being. So what did you understand, Prabhupada's explanation of that from the purport, in your own words?
I say that I understand that everything in the spiritual is transcendental, everything, all the pastimes, so there's no dualities like there is here in the material world.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Okay, something else?
It was befitting in the sense that it was glorifying his form, the form that he was in.
It was befitting in the sense that it was glorifying the form that he was in? Okay, he isn't this material, but it was unbefitting in the fact that he isn't really this material form, but he's transcendental. Just the technicality there, his form, even though it appears in the material world, it's not material, but I understand the point that you're making. Even his form as it appears in the material world, it might look like it's material, but it is transcendental. What did Prabhupada give for the... He said he gave an example to help clear the idea of the contradictory terms. What was that example? Vaishnav? Whoever them. Here, I'll get
it. Many times we see Krishna seemingly getting engaged in things which are usually condemned by Vedas itself. But because he is absolute, even when he gets engaged in them, he's bhashvuru.
Good. Thank you. Another example that's given in Nectar Devotion to this effect is when Krishna kills a demon, or when Krishna gives his mercy to a demon, or to a devotee. The results are both good. So Krishna's killing is good, and Krishna's mercy is also good, because when Krishna kills the demon, that person is purified of all their contamination and elevated and liberated to a different position, transcendental position. And when Krishna gives his mercy to someone, they're also purified and elevated to a transcendental position. So his killing and his mercy are all good.
So are those things equal then, the mercy and the killing? Would you say that they're
equal? That's a good question. So they're both good, but okay. So go back to the example that I'm a little more familiar with in Nectar of Devotion. That Prabhupada says, or Rupa Goswami said, that Kamsa, Sisupal, and the Gopis all achieved the same goal. Kamsa, Sisupal, and the Gopis. Now think about that. Kamsa, Sisupal, and now you're putting the gopis in that same category? Now, wait a minute. So Srila Prabhupada explains there that, of course, they all get liberated. But that term of liberation is quite a broad terminology. It's like an umbrella, you know, has different levels. So Kamsa and Sisupal, they were elevated, they were liberated, but they weren't liberated to the same position that the gopis were liberated. Because what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Yaya tamam prapadyate. As they surrender, I reward. So, because the gopis worshipped Krishna in love, they were... the example is like they're elevated to like living in the king's palace, let's say. So, they go into Krishna's personal pastimes. But the Kamsa and Sisupal, they sort of just make it into the kingdom of the king. They get there. They made a lot of progress, but it's not the same exact thing. Because there's three stages of understanding. That's a brief explanation. Is that okay? Okay, let's continue on. I think, Chaitanya, it's your turn. Oh, we're up to text 20. Ambika, cool.
Absorb
cool.
In the thought of the transcendental qualities of the Lord, who is sung in select poetry. The ladies on the roofs of all the houses of Hastinapur began to talk of him. This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas.
Interesting, no? This talk was more attractive than the hymns of the Vedas. Okay, continue. Stephanie, sorry, I called you Andrea. I'm sorry.
In the Bhagavad Gita, it is said that in all the Vedic literatures, the goal is the personality of Godhead Shri Krishna. Factually, the glories of the Lord are depicted in such literature as the Vedas, Ramayana, and the Mahabharata. Yes. And in the Bhagavatam, they are specifically mentioned in respect to the Supreme Lord. Therefore, while the ladies on tops of the houses in the capital of the kings of the Kuru dynasty were talking about the Lord, their talk was more pleasing than the Vedic hymns. Anything sung in the praise of the Lord is Shruti Mantra. There are songs of Narottam Das Thakur, one of the Acharyas in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, composed in simple Bengali language.
Okay, we're going to stop there because our time is pressing on us. You know, we want to continue all of these. So this is going to be further explained in the next text. So let's go on. Thank you.
They said, here he is.
Who's the they?
The wives.
The ladies, the wives, who are they? Where are they?
On the rooftops.
They're on the rooftops. Where? In Hastinapur. Okay, just focusing in. Okay, go on.
They said, here he is, the original personality, as we definitely remember him. He alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature, and in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge, as if sleeping at night, their energy suspended.
So let's think about this verse. Here are these ladies who never came in direct contact with the Lord, as was previously stated in the purport, and they are decorated with the quality of shyness, and they are offering these great prayers. I mean, this is a very philosophical point of view that they're expressing right here. Here he is, the original personality of Godhead, as we definitely remember him. That's really special. And then they say, what's his position? He alone existed. They understood immediately that this person is the, and they that he's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They understood it wasn't a sentimental understanding either. They understood some of his characteristics and qualities. He alone existed before the creation. And he alone will exist after this, what? Creation of the material world. Bhutva, bhutva, praliyate. Can we go on to the next verse? 22.
The personality of Godhead, again desiring to give names and forms to his parts and parcels. The living entities place them under the guidance of material nature. By his own potency, the material nature is empowered to recreate.
So I'm confused. So here they're saying this one verse, okay, going one before, 21. Here's the original personality of Godhead. He existed before the manifestation of the modes of nature. And then why do they now talk about this in this next verse? What's the connection? They're describing, yeah, but now they're talking about the living entities. It's true, but what are they saying about the living entities and in relation to the personality of Godhead? And what's he doing from the two verses? Go ahead.
It says that they were then placed under the guidance of the modes of material nature.
Yes. Yes. They're talking about the Lord's, the process of creation, right from the very beginning, the process of creation, how the living entities are put into the material world and how they're woken up from their sleep of being submerged in the body of Mahavishnu for billions and trillions and millions of years. And then they wake up. And just like in the morning, in the nighttime, when we go to sleep, we experience the same thing. When we go to sleep, the end of our day, so many things we did during the day, you go to sleep, you oftentimes forget totally about what you did in the day. and then and you're dreaming all these unusual things, then as soon as you wake up, you remember, oh, I have this class today, I have to do that, I have this, so many things. So they're giving, waking up and remembering their past karmic activities. It's a long topic, but we're going on. We're on 23.
Here is the same Supreme Personality of Godhead, whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and the senses. And that is the only way to purify existence.
What does that mean to us? I can't hear you. In Krishna house, right place. Okay. Can we get a little more elaborate?
Devotional service and controlling your activities and controlling your senses will lead you to understand Krishna.
Yeah.
And experience his transcendental form.
Yeah. It means that for the conditioned soul who's been in the material world and contaminated by material consciousness, there is the opportunity to cleanse the consciousness, to cleanse the heart by engaging in devotional service and become reinstated in their original consciousness. Okay, continue on. 24. Sorry, we have to skip these purports, but in your spare time, it's good if you can read them. Okay, Lakshmi, I think you're on for 24. The microphone's right there by your hand. There you go.
Oh, dear friends, it is that very personality of Godhead whose attractive and confidential pastimes are described in the confidential parts of the Vedic literature by his great devotees. It is he only who creates, maintains, and annihilates the material world and yet remains unaffected.
Thank you. 25.
Whenever there are kings and administrators living like animals in the lowest modes of existence, the Lord in his transcendental form manifests his supreme power, the truth positive, shows special mercy to the faithful, performs wonderful activities, and manifests various transcendental forms as is necessary in different periods and ages.
Can you continue? Well, what my plan is now, I sort of changed plans in midstream. We'll just go through all the verses to recover up to 30, and then we'll go back over some of the important points. Okay.
Oh, how supremely glorified is the dynasty of King Yadu, and how virtuous is the land of Mathura, with the supreme leader of all living beings, the husband of the goddess of fortune, has taken his birth and wandered in his childhood.
So what I get from this verse here is the activities of the Lord. None of the activities of the Lord are unknown to these ladies. They know his position as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, what the activities of creation are and so many things. And they also know Krishna's personal activities and birth and activities and loving relationships in Mathura. Krishna Kripa Prabhu?
27. Undoubtedly, it is wonderful that Dwarka has defeated the glories of the heavenly planets and enhanced the celebrity of the earth. The inhabitants of Dwarka are all seeing the soul of all living beings, Krishna, in his loving feature. He glances at them and favors them with sweet smiles.
So they knew about Mathura and his activities in Vrindavan, and they knew about his activities in Dwarka. So everything was there. Prabhu?
Oh, friends, just think of his wives, whose hands he has accepted. How they must have undergone vows, baths, fire sacrifices, and perfect worship of the Lord of the universe to constantly relish now the nectar from his lips by kissing. The damsels of Rijbhumi would often faint just by expecting such favors.
The children of these ladies are Pradyumna, Samba, Amba, etc. Ladies like Rukmini, Satyabhama, and Jambavati were forcibly taken away by him from their Shamavara.
Svayamvara. Svayamvara.
Ceremonies after he defeated many powerful kings headed by Shishupala. And other ladies were also forcibly taken away by him after he killed Bhamasura and thousands of his assistants. All of these ladies are glorious.
Text number 30. All these women auspiciously glorified their lives despite their being without individually and without purity. Their husbands, the lotus eye personality of Godhead, never left them alone at home. He always pleased their hearts by making valuable presentations.
Thank you. So that's the our set of verses for today. So you can see there's so much wide variety of information there. And tomorrow's verse is going to... verses are going to explain how the position of the ladies, they are very gloriously realized in Krishna's name, his fame, his activities, his paraphernalia, his entourage. They're understanding all of those things. So let's go and read. We have a little bit of time. Let's go read text 23 again. Can we read the verse again, and we'll read the purport.
Here is the Supreme Personality of Godhead whose transcendental form is experienced by the great devotees who are completely cleansed of material consciousness by dint of rigid devotional service and full control of life and sense and the senses. And that is the only way to purify existence. Purport. As it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord can be known in His real nature by dint of pure devotional service only. So it is stated here that the only the great devotees of the Lord who are able to clear the mind of all material dust by rigid devotional services can experience the Lord as He is. Jitendriya means one who has full control over the senses. The senses are active parts of the body, and their activities cannot be stopped. The artificial means of yogic processes to make the senses inactive has proved to be abject failure, even in the case of great yogis like Vishwamitra Muni. Vishwamitra Muni controlled the senses by yogic trance, but when he happened to meet Menaka, a heavenly society woman, he became a victim of sex, and the artificial way of controlling the senses failed. But in the case of a pure devotee, the senses are not at all artificially stopped from doing anything, but they are given different good engagements. When the senses are engaged in more attractive activities, there is no chance of their being attracted by any inferior engagements. In the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that the senses can be controlled only by better engagements.
Can someone give me that verse from Bhagavad Gita? I'm sure a few of you have that verse memorized, or even maybe a phrase by higher engagement. Vishaya. Vini Vartante Vishaya Vini Vartante Niradhasya Dehina Raso Vargyam Raso Pyasya Param Dristva Nivartate. Param Dristva Nivartate. That everyone, the senses are always looking for engagement. Now, if you want to tell the little naughty child to stop doing his activities, he say, go sit down in the corner. How long can he do that? Not very long, right? Personal experience over there. Not very long. Maybe they can do it for a few minutes, but then, you know, they need to be engaged. So better than sitting in the corner, restraining them that way, better to engage them in positive engagements, creative engagements, so many things. That's how mothers spend most of their time and energy. Paused how to engage these wonderful living entities who have come under my care in to make progress in spiritual life. And so many think of so many creative ways, you know, to do that. But so for us, we're not any different than those naughty little children, you could say. You know, our senses need engagement. So therefore, by this process of bhakti yoga and engaging our senses in Krishna's service, then the senses have positive engagement. Then they have a positive engagement, and therefore much easier to control. Not impo- not, not, it's not 100% easy, but it's much easier to control the senses when they're engaged in the service of the Lord. And this is the point that's been made so far in the purport. When Prabhupada explains in the first six chapters, well, Krishna explains in the first six chapters of Bhagavad Gita the whole different processes of yoga and this and that, so much endeavor to control the senses and this and that through the different yogic postures and processes. So difficult. But all of that can be easily achieved and surpassed by engaging the senses in the process of bhakti yoga. Surpassed. And the classic example is Vishvamrita Muni. You know, there's a few classic examples like that. Meditating, or Subari Muni, meditating under the water for so long. And just seeing something that wasn't particularly even attractive, he became agitated. And Vishvamrita Muni, just by hearing the ankle bells, you know, became attracted in that way. Okay, continue. Yes. What verse is that, Krishna? 259. Thanks. Yeah.
Devotional service necessitates purifying the senses or engaging them in the activities of devotional service. Devotional service is not inaction. Anything done in the service of the Lord becomes at once purified of its material nature.
Including iPods and etc. Go on.
The material conception is due to ignorance only. There is nothing beyond Vasudev. The Vasudev conception gradually develops in the heart of the learned. After a prolonged acceleration of the receptive organs.
Acceleration of the receptive organs. Isn't that poetic? Go, continue.
But the process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudeva as all in all.
Does that ring a verse in Bhagavad Gita to mind? But the process ends in the knowledge of accepting Vasudeva as all in all. That's okay. Krishna Kripa will tell us the first part. Bahunam janmanam ante. Gyanavam mam prapadyate. Vasudeva, first, Vasudeva savamiti. Sa Mahatma, such a great soul. After Bahunam, after many, many births, that's what to hear is inferred in that sentence before by prolonged acceleration of the receptive organs. Bahunam Janma, after many, many births, one finally, and not just many, many births of material life, many, many births of inquiring after the absolute truth. Not just being, we're not qualified to understand the absolute truth just by being born repeatedly in the material world, but we actually have to, you know, do something about it, you know, make some endeavor for spiritual life. So after many births of trying to understand the nature of the Supreme, one finally comes to the realization that Vasudeva is everything. And that is not a common occurrence. Such a great soul is very rare. Continue.
In the case of devotional service, this very same method is accepted from the very beginning, and by the grace of the Lord, all factual knowledge becomes revealed in the heart of the devotee due to dedication by the Lord from within.
Dictation
by the Lord from within. Therefore, controlling the senses by devotional service is the only and easiest means.
Thanks. I'm going to read those last couple of sentences again, because sometimes we have a tendency just to read the words and not really think what they mean. Starting here. In the case of devotional service, this very same method is accepted from the very beginning. What very same method? Devotional service isn't a complete answer. What very same method? What's the method of devotional service? Engaging the senses. So that method of engaging the senses in Krishna's service is accepted from the very beginning. In other words, where that Samahatma Sudurlabha person who, after many, many births, he finally came to understand that Vasudeva is everything, by Srila Prabhupada's grace, we're starting off at that point. By engaging our senses in Krishna's service, we're starting off at that point of Samahatma Sudurlabha, a very rare soul. And, okay, so, accepted from the very beginning. By the grace of the Lord, all factual knowledge becomes revealed in the heart of a devotee. All factual knowledge becomes revealed in the heart of a devotee due to dictation from the Lord, by the Lord from within. So Krishna reveals himself to those who are engaged in his devotional service. Gradually, by the purifying process of devotional service. And you all are experiencing it to some degree or other, small it may be in the beginning, but it's there. We're experiencing it in our very life. Bhagavat Prasadam Ki Jai, Haribol. So, therefore, controlling the senses by devotional service is the only and the easiest means. So, who else comes to mind as a great personality who had all knowledge revealed in his heart by the dictation of the Lord from within?
Narada Muni.
Oh, good. Dhruva, Narada Muni, Brahma, all knowledge. He had to create the world. He has to create it every day. Every day of Brahma, he has to create the whole material world again. And every day he's a little bewildered. And every day the Lord reveals it. Actually, when he's born on the lotus, anyway, whatever. Yeah, so the Lord will reveal information from within the heart by the sincere application of the process of devotional service. So don't give up. Keep practicing. Keep trying to chant every day with attention, with more sincerity than the day before. And Krishna will give you, as he is giving to all his sincere servitors, more and more taste in devotional service.